Lord has laid a little thought on her heart this morning. I'd ask you just to pray for us that we'd be able to bring this out in a way that'd be pleasing to Him. Does anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand, anybody here have anxiety? I have anxiety. Not as bad as I once did. One time I'd have those what they call anxiety attacks, and Sheila would have to get one of them paper bags and stick it over my face where I could breathe. I'd just quit breathing. I've seen people pass out from anxiety. It's something that's real, and it's tough. And our thought is, I will fear no evil. And I ask you, if you would, please pray for us. If you have a little trouble with anxiety, whether it's bad or you might say, well, you still got anxiety, and you're right, I do. Anxiety will make you question everything. I mean, it will. And if you're a preacher and you got anxiety, boy, you got a problem. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to question things anyway if you're a preacher. Everything you say and do, but if you got anxiety, it just doubles down. I mean, by the time I get to the car today, the devil will be wearing me out, and I'll question everything I said and done. I promise you. And over the next 3 days, I hear preachers say Monday's bad. Monday is bad. It really is. Tuesday's bad too for me. Wednesday, it starts finally getting a little better. That's called anxiety. I have no doubt. When I get up here, I wouldn't do it. If I would got up here, I wouldn't do it if I didn't feel like the Lord was in it. I just wouldn't do it. I'd stay at home. I'd just sit out there in the car. I'd do something. But I know the message He's given me. I know it's from the Lord. I have no doubt about that. I prayed about it and studied on it all week, and I want to make sure about that. So why then do I worry about it afterwards? I don't know. I have no idea. If you know it's from God, then why do you worry about it? Well, it's anxiety. And I will fear no evil. And I pray, y'all pray for me that someday I'll get to where I can be able to do that. But I really don't think I'm the only person here today that has trouble with anxiety. I think we live in a time today that it's more, maybe more so than ever. It just seems like there's so much stuff out there, the news and social media. You can't get away from nothing. I mean, I remember a time you could go out and as a child, I could leave in the morning, be gone all day. Mom and them, they never did worry about you. They didn't miss you, really, to be honest with you. There wasn't no way of contacting you. I mean, you just went out and had a good time. But now, I mean, you're always one phone call away, and we're always expecting something bad. Are you that way? Are you? And Brother Larry, I don't mean to mention his name, but he was explaining what he learned about anxiety through some guy on a radio or something, and he explained it to how there's things that come up and that out of your control, and that's what my wife she'll say all the time. Well, I worry about the things I can't control. Well, I want you to know right now, we're not in control. So if that's what it is, then you got anxiety. Because, and Larry said, if more things happen, you know, that's out of your control, and you can't do nothing about this, and you can't do nothing about that, you can't do nothing about this, then it gets worse and worse. The anxiety gets worse. And that's when you start, I guess, maybe having anxiety attacks. So, today I hope and pray that I hope I'm the good ground. I hope the seed that God has let me study on the last several days falls on me. I hope I get it today. I'm not trying to be selfish in that. I really ain't. I hope you do too. I hope it helps me. I hope it helps you. I hope it helps us as a body that we wouldn't be so worried and just fear everything. If you're a child of God, we really don't have nothing to fear. We really don't. I'm just being honest with you. But we can't help it. We do. So somehow or another, we've got to get to where we can trust the Lord. I've got to get to where I can trust the Lord and say, God, you've got this. I can't fix everything. I can't fix this person's problem. I can go out in a chainsaw shop and I'll try my best to fix everything that comes up. And I do. I try. I'll just keep on and keep on. I won't quit. I'll tell Sheila, I'll come in, I say, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'm calling to help me come get that piece of junk. I'm done with it. I ain't working on it no more. 5 minutes later, I finish my cup of coffee. I'm back out there and I'm thinking, what in the world is wrong with this thing? I just can't give up. I don't want to give up. See, I want things. I want to fix things. I want to fix your problems. I want to fix my problems, but I can't. I want to read to you very familiar scripture. Everything we read today will be very familiar. But they're there for a reason, and I pray that they won't be just familiar to us, but they'll get where they'll live with us. And we won't forget them. Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, come out of the mouth of the Lord. He thought this was very important. He put that in part of that Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, I say unto you in the 25th verse, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is it not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, gather into the barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? Can you add one day into your life? Can you add one inch unto your height? Is there anything you can do to change that? And that's what he's saying. Why are you taking thought? Can you do these things? Why take you thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall it not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And that's where my problem is. And I'm going to tell you today, this may hurt your feelings, but that's where your problem is too. It's because we have so little faith. And I want to read to you the man here in a second for our text the difference in me and what he was able to say. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall, or don't worry, what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or wherewith we shall be clothed. For after all these things doeth the Gentiles seek. That's what the world seeks. That's the ones that don't know God. That's what they seek after. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought, no worry, for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Significant unto the day is the evil thereof. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. And I want you to know this was a time where these people had to worry about whether they's going to have money to clothe themselves. They had to worry about whether they's going to have anything to eat tomorrow. They had to be concerned about that. But the barrel never run out. The oil was always there. The meal was always there. I want you to realize God will always be there. So where our problem is in lack of faith. And that's where your problem is too. It's my problem. It's your problem. If you want to get better, we need to start having more faith in God. And quit worrying so much. I can't take care of all these things, and neither can you. There's nothing we can do to really change anything. People say, I'm in control. I can't stand it when I'm not in control. You're not in control. I want you to realize that today. You think, well, I'm in control of this right here. I can control my kids. No, you cannot. You can teach your kids, but you can't control your kids. I can control what I'm fixing to do here in a minute. No, you cannot. You may be dead before the next minute. I can control my wife. No, you cannot. No, you cannot. We'll double down amen and amen again. You cannot. So take no thought about it. Don't worry about it. Put your trust in the Lord to take care of these things. Work hard. I'm not saying just sit down and let God take care of everything. He expects you to work. The Bible says a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. I believe that. That's what's wrong with our country today. Everybody wants a handout, wants everybody else to take care of them. I want you to know today, that ain't what we're about. But I ain't saying just sit down and let God take care of it all. He expects you to do your part. Do your part, then give it to God. That's what he's expecting me to do this morning, my part. And then I need to just give it to God. Y'all pray y'all be able to do that. All right. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Listen to how this man says this. He believes this. He has faith in God. He believes that he's going to take care of him. And that's where my problem is. I get in my head that I can take care of things, and I cannot. And I want you to know you have the same problem. He restoreth my soul, and he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. What did he say a while ago? Seek you out first. His righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Serve God. Seek him out first. Ask his direction in all things. And let him lead you the way you need to go. And quit worrying about it. I worry all the time. I think, well, they're done with me over there. That's why I tell Sheila. I say, you reckon they're done with me over there? They give me some booger faces today. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. They act like they was mad. And she'll say, I don't think they're done with you. I'm asking the wrong person. She don't know. A God's one would know. If he was done with me, he could tell me about it. I need to search him out. But I'll tell you what, I need to get where I have more faith in God. Oh, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I love how you said your sister-in-law is not concerned about herself. She's more, her husband, your mother's more worried. I want you to know this woman is walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And she's not worried. Why she's not worried? Because she sought him out first. She's been saved by God's grace. Ain't that wonderful to be able to lay down and be able to die and know you got peace with God? Ain't that something? Know you're having a surgery tomorrow and know it's going to be okay. I want to tell you something that's special. Only true salvation, not something some man told you, not being baptized and all these things are good. But listen, when God lets you know you're his and he's yours, honey, that's real. And you lay down and die with that. I will fear, that's where thought is. I will fear or I will not worry about the evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Listen, I want you to know we should have comfort in all that. The next time you start worrying, the next time Satan gets in your mind, the next time you're having some kind of financial problem, the next time you're worried about your children, the next time you're worried about this situation or that situation, just focus your trust in the Lord. Give it to God. I've been able to do it a few times. Honey, boy, the first time I ever done it, I was so worried I was going to go to hell. I was so troubled about that. I was so concerned about that. And there wasn't a thing I could do about it. Not a thing. Anxiety was just awful. I was tore all to pieces. I don't know about you. It may not bother you none, but it bothered me. Thinking I was fixing to die and go to hell. There wasn't a thing I could do about it. You know what I finally got where I done? I surrendered to him, and when I surrendered to him, you know what happened? Peace come in. He saved my soul, and he took all that anxiety away. If it happened the first time, why can't I know that it's going to happen? Not get saved again? No, you don't get saved again, but there's all kinds of troubles out yonder. I mean, that trouble you, that bother you, and I want you to realize when we'll give them to God, he can give us peace with them. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They prepare us a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is not just something he said, it will follow me all the days of my life. So from the time you got saved, he's with you every day. And then he's going to be with you over there forever. So he's never going to leave you. He's promised that. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to depart from you. I want you to realize, Brother Bray, you can worry yourself to death over this cancer. It will drive you crazy if you let it. Or you just give it to God. I want you to know, just let him have it. Let him take care of you. I know that's hard, easier said than done. But I want you to know, is that not the advice we give a lost person? Do we not believe what we're telling them? I get up here and I feel like a hypocrite sometimes. I tell them, surrender to God. Let him have it. Give it to him. And then me holding on to the same message I preached on for 3 days won't let it go. Ain't that just silly? It is. I'm telling this one to do that, and I'm turning around doing the same thing that I just told them not to do. Do you do that? Can you let it go? Can you let it go when you feel like it's out of your control? Your marriage is falling apart around you. You can't fix it. You're trying your best. You're doing all you can to fix it. You want it to be right. You don't want to lose your family. You want to get it fixed. I want to tell you right now, you can't fix it. I think you should try and do the best you can, but give him to God and let him lead you into pasture. Let him put you beside the still waters where you can find some peace. And when you do that, he will help your marriage. He can control it. He's never been out of control. You think anything has ever worried God? You think he's sitting up there on the throne right now saying, what am I going to do about that Jeff Likens? Oh, looking over the Holy Spirit, I can't do nothing with him. Jesus saying, I've tried to tell him. I've tried to tell him. We've told him through the word. I've told him over and over and over. You think he's worried about that? He ain't one bit worried about it. He knows about me. He knows about you. He's waiting for you to trust in him. Just like it was when you got saved. Or David, he said all that with so much faith. He believed what he said. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I don't have to worry about it. I ain't saying he didn't have problems. He did, just like everybody else. But he did not have to be concerned about it. Why? Because the Lord is a shepherd. He cares for you. He said the harlot careth not for you. He does it for money, but he says, I care for you. I'm the good shepherd. I love you. I'm not a harlot. I care for the sheep. I'll take care of you. If you'll give me your problems, I'll take care of them. So why don't we do it? I don't know. Take no thought for it. He said that two or three different times. Take no thought. Quit you worrying. Is there anything you can do about it? David, when he prayed for his son, his baby was dying. I mean, he done his part. He prayed that the Lord might repent. And that he did different times. On Jonah, over there with Jonah, he didn't destroy Nineveh. I want you to know he prayed to God. He was praying that his child might live. But when that child died, he got up to ask him. He said, the child's dead, ain't he? And they were scared to tell him. They was worried about it. They was concerned. You've acted this way the whole time the child's sick, now he's dead. They didn't know what was going to happen. He just cleaned himself up and went and ate. They didn't get it. What in the world are you doing? He said, I can't bring the child back. All the praying and worrying I do about it ain't going to change nothing. He said, I can go be with him. That's faith. That's the difference between me and David. I'm just telling you, that's why he was a man after God's own heart. And I'm up here telling you my problems. And I'm not trying to tell you my problems. I really ain't. What I'm trying to tell you is I believe you've got the same problem I do. Some of you may not. I work with a boy up here at American Greens, and I love him to death. He's a deacon in one of our churches. I won't mention who he was. Me and him were set up on them old log machines. They had a smoke area over yonder. I sat over there all the time with two cigarettes burning in the ashtray, one in my mouth. Just a nervous wreck. You finally get those pieces of junks running. And they was junk, wasn't they? You get those things running, and you couldn't even enjoy it because you just knew any second they was going to tear all the pieces. His bow could be, so if he tore all the pieces, parts laying out the floor, he'd be sitting over laughing, telling jokes. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Me just, not even getting paid overtime sometimes, work our hair over, because I couldn't leave just like I am with them. Chainsaws, I couldn't let it go. I'd stay and work on that thing and help the next guy out for an hour. They're not paying me. I had to get it. It was driving me crazy. Are you that way? Are you that guy that or gal that can just go around us, just laugh and talk right in the middle of the storm? They asked him once when how the storm was coming. They said, "Care us not that we perish." He got up and said, talked about their faith again. Where's your faith at? I've got this. And he just said, calm the storm. And I want you to know the wind and the waves and the rain obeyed his voice. He stopped the storm because he did care for them. He cares for you just the same. Right in the middle of the storm, if you'll go to him and ask him to help, he'll calm the storm. He'll just stop it. He does care for us. So why do we keep paddling and trying to fight the storm by ourselves? Well, I don't get it. Y'all pray for us. Amen. This may not be for nobody but me, but I pray it lands on some good ground. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest of your souls. You know what he's saying? They had them old oxen, and they would yoke them together. They had a wooden plank board like thing. They made it out of a limb, I guess. They carved it out. And they'd take those old oxen and they would yoke them up together. That's what it was. It would yoke. They would be two of them being.
And when you got two, they're stronger than one. That's what the Bible says over in Ecclesiastes 12 and 4. Two are stronger than one. And when you put God in the middle of that, He can take the load. I want you to know what me and you're trying to do. We're trying to pull that load on our own. We're trying to pull that plow, and we cannot do it. And He's saying, take my yoke. Get hooked up with me. Surrender to me. Trust me, and I'll give you rest. You know what'll happen when we do that? When we get hooked up with Him, He just simply walks right through there and just carries it. And we follow behind Him, and He's carrying that load that we could not carry. Why do we keep carrying the load when He wants it? He's asking us, let me take it. I want it. Let me take it. I want to give you rest. I want to give you peace. I want you to be able to walk through the valley of shadow of death and fear no evil, because my rod and my staff will comfort you. I don't want you to take thought for tomorrow, because I took care of that piece of that weed growing over there, that lily. I'll take care of the birds that don't store nothing behind. They've always got something to eat. I'm taking care of them, and I'll take care of you and your family. 1 Peter 5 and 6, cast all your cares upon Him, because He careth for you. He cares. He knows you're hurting. He knows where you're at today. He knows you're at your bitter end. Your nerves can't handle no more. I can't go no further. My wife has told me a million times, you're getting on my last nerve. That last nerve's a good one. I've been getting on it for 40-something years. Give me to the Lord. Let Him walk me. He can take care of me. Trust me. I know. So that bill that you don't know how you're going to pay tomorrow is coming to you. Give it to Christ. Because you worrying about it all day today ain't going to change nothing. Get up in the morning, go to work, do the best you can. Let the Lord take care of it. If your marriage is maybe not where you'd like for it to be, I don't guess none of them are perfect. You don't know what to do about it anymore, let Him have it. Let Him take care of it. If you're sick with some kind of disease, maybe with some of us don't even know about it, let the Lord have it. Now I'm going to tell you this. If you're here today and you're lost, there ain't a thing you can do about it but surrender to God. Now I'm going to ask you and you and you and you for us to do the same thing. And me. Just give it to God. Anxiety is an evil thing. I think Satan invented it. It puts doubt. See, he's the author of confusion. And that's what he does to us. He makes us feel like nobody cares about us. Nobody loves us. We're no good for nothing. We're no count for nothing. The world would be better off without us. You ever feel that way? You feel that way? Be honest. Your family would be better off without me. All I am is just trouble. The church would do better without me. That's how we all feel at times. We all feel that way at times. And it builds and it builds and it becomes anxiety, and then you start having anxiety attacks. Because you're not in control. And you're not. So, who was that singer, country music singer, said, Jesus, take the wheel? Carrie Underwood. Just let go. And let God. Jesus, take the wheel. Guide me in the path that you'd have me to go. You take care of this because I can't. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm going to give it to you. Today, we're fixing out. I'm going to give an altar call if you're here and lost. I want to encourage you to come. If you're here and saved and you've got the same problem I do, don't be ashamed today. I'm going to encourage you to come. And let's let Jesus take the wheel. Let's give it to God. Let him have it. And then we can find rest for our souls. And I don't mean give it to him and then pick it right back up when we get out in the parking lot. Let him have it. Let him have it. Say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. You saved me. Now I want you to take this load off of me. So, is anybody else like me here today, or am I the only one? If I'm going to kneel down here and I'm going to pray, and if I get up and I'm still by myself, that won't bother me a bit. Because I know this message, it was least for me. But if you're not ashamed to come and give it to God, I'm going to ask you to come and join me.